Confidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 30th on the West Coast, now October the 1st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and appreciate you staying up or getting up to listen to the show. We know that some of the people on the other side of the world are already in their afternoon hours. So if you didn't have a late night last night and you got up early or you're not at work today and you're able to listen live, we appreciate you being with us. Before I bring tonight's guest on, I have a couple of messages that I'm going to play for you here.
Maybe I'm not an American citizen, and some people said, he has a forged birth certificate. Well, first of all, it's true, I'm not an American. I mean, I was not born in Hawaii. I wasn't born in the United States of America. I come from Kenya. And so I think people saw my election as proof, as testimony that
Barack has led by example. When we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya, we took a public HIV test.
Question, our President-elect Obama's birthplace over in Kenya, is that going to be a national spot to go visit where he was born?
It's already an attraction.
But his birthplace, they'll put up a marker there?
They choose in front of the government. It's already well-known.
Listen, sir, thank you very much for the time. We just wanted to check in. Given the proceedings that have occurred, a great appointment. Thank you, Your Excellency, for your time.
Well, thank you so very much, yes, for your excitement and for congratulating us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. You have a nice day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mike, you basically admitted that President-elect Obama was born there.
Yes, he did.
That's what I was asking him. Remember the controversy
about Hawaii and whether he naturalized or not or what happened?
I mean, that's a fact.
No, you're going to have to replay it because I didn't.
I asked him if there's going to be a marker.
That he was born there.
And I said, President-elect, not to confuse with his dad. And he said, absolutely, there's already plans.
Right, so there you go. So that means we're going to have to remove his, we're going to have to undo it.
I'm not going to argue with His Excellency. If he says President-elect Obama was born in Kenya, he was born in Kenya.
It's disrespectful to argue.
Well, there have been about 17 cases nationwide over Barack Obama's birth certificate. Now, a birth certificate costs between $10 and $15 to get a copy of it. So for less than $400, Barack Obama could have made 17 copies of his original birth certificate and had them sent to each of these courts by express mail. Instead, this highly educated man has spent to date $800,000 on legal fees to prevent his birth certificate from becoming public. Now, do you think Barack Obama might have something to hide?
Assalamu alaikum. Any other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country? I know because I am one of them. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You are absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
Now, here is a young man in Harlem in 2006 by the name of JJ, featured comedian at the Apollo Theater.
Now I'm going to cry again, and I want y'all to say, what's wrong, JJ? All right, y'all got that?
What's wrong, JJ?
Kelly took my girlfriend. Well, I'm going to start off by saying y'all got some beautiful women here. You. You want to be my babysitter? Well, he not. You laughing? I'm serious. Better quit coming around me like that. You know I'm going through puberty. Just jokes. But I need to talk to y'all grown folks for a minute. Cause y'all always talking about how bad kids are. Talking about kids just ain't the same no more. But in reality, kids act just like grown folks. Kids, grown folks, same thing. Like, for example, y'all always telling y'all kids, don't lie to me. Don't you ever lie to me. Y'all be lying to us. You lied about the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Boogeyman. But y'all tell y'all when y'all really be lying? When y'all really be lying? Is when y'all whooping us. Come on. I'm whooping you because I love you. Please. You ain't whooping me because you love me. You whooping me because you mad. See? Y'all lie to us. We lie to y'all. And y'all women, y'all wouldn't be the main ones lying. Like telling your kids that they daddy gone to the army. Knowing he ain't gone to no army. I'm telling you right now, I tell you kids the truth. I be like, have your daddy send you the pictures? He be like, yeah. I be like, did he have on an orange suit? He be like, yeah. I be like, was he on the pose like this? He be like, yeah. I'm like, dude, your dad ain't gone to no army. Your daddy right down there in Rockers Island. Your mama lied to you, boy. And what about these telephone calls? Y'all always getting on your kids talking about, why you didn't answer the phone when your principal called, boy? Why you didn't answer the phone when your teacher called? Y'all don't answer the phone when the bill collector called. And will beat us down if we pick up the phone. Y'all don't answer the phone when the bill collector calls. We don't answer the phone when the teacher calls. Kids, grown folks, same thing. Before I get off this stage, I wanted to say this poem that I wrote to my girlfriend. She was mad at me, but she'll get over it. It's called, We Got to Break Up. Because I got a crush on your mama. Hope y'all like it. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I got a crush on your mama, so I got to break up with you. So please don't cry. Just try to understand. Because see, when I'm around you, I feel like a boy. But when I'm around your mama, I feel like a grown man. See, with you, all we can do is talk on the phone and dream about having fun. But with your mama, see, she can take me to the mall and buy me some of them new Air Force Ones. See, your mom can cook real good, but you can't. See, your mom gonna make a down payment on that brand new Cadillac, and you ain't. See, me and you together, we both broke, but your mom, oh, she got money in the bank. And when we ride down the street in that brand new Caddy, if you want something from me, you can't call me JJ no more. You got to call me Daddy. Hey, I'm Lil' JJ. Father, I love you.
And that's Lil' JJ. I think he was 11, 12 years old. That was back in 2006. Boy, he was telling the truth about some stuff. Now, before I bring tonight's guest on, I've got a shorter clip that I would like to play. And this is kind of interesting. It speaks for itself.
I've had a handful of prescription drugs, okay? And a glass of wine or two. I'm starting to feel kind of f***ed up. I think it was... Where was it? So what?
That was your birth certificate! You should be impeached!
I've got a question for all those folks. What the f*** are you gonna do?
Get off the stage!
Just shut up!
Impeach you!
F*** you! When is this thing going to be over?
Now, we hope that last snippet from Obamasnippets.com wasn't serious. But that's kind of the impression that you have of the usurper in chief right now. I'm going to go ahead and bring tonight's guest on. He's a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. He's a master electronic engineer. He's got a background in real estate, and he is a talk show host in his own right. He has a website, amd.elequity.com, and his radio show is heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. My good friend, who hosts A Marine's Disquisition, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
And I'm here to all my Marines around the world. Semper Fi. Hope I didn't pull yourself off the floor there.
Well, I had a few interesting clips that I wanted to play tonight. I thought the little boy was telling the truth. You know that little comedian, J.J.?
Oh, yeah. Right on point. We don't have enough real stand-up comics anymore that have national attention in such a way as other, I would say. I don't really want to call them comedians. I don't have another term, but... Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, called a spade all through his life in his performances, especially the last 10 years. And then we had a recent comedian that died. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, about a year or so ago.
George Carlin, you mean?
Carlin. And Mark Twain could get on a stage and not say one curse word in 3 hours and tell you the truth. George, the difference between him and George Carlin had to use the profanity as verbiage in resonance of his speech. And yet I look at others out there that are that do the same, like this little kid, 11 years old. You didn't hear. He had everybody shouting and hooting and hollering, and he didn't say any curse words. What's going to happen to him in 5 or 10 years? And this is our society that we've come in today.
Yeah.
And in the 30s, the 20s and the 30s, we had another comedian out there that told the truth, and he didn't come out and use curse words. And when he was killed in Alaska, we mourned him, but we wonder where we're going to go today. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
You're going to say Will Rogers.
Yes.
Yes.
And Will Rogers, in his verbiage, you never heard him say a curse word. Radio, TV, off the air, in private meetings, even the senators that he spoke up against in private conversations with Will Rogers. Will Rogers never cursed a man, and the senators never cursed back to him or called him a liar or anything else because he told the truth. In our society today, we've got a society today that's just lost its moral conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I hate playing some of the clips that George Carlin plays, but they're so right. They have been and were so on point with everything else. And I don't play his clips now because I have no way to mute the constant barrage of verbiage that he uses. And your little clip there with the little with 11-year-old, it's right on point. And if I may, I'd like to play a little clip from Reverend James David Manning.
Sure, this is clip nine.
So apropos about the lying that's going on in America, and a way. And this is a clip from his monologue today, talking about how we can end this war in the Middle East and how we can get rid of these liars around Washington, D.C. and New York City, this invasion of the Muslims. And we've got leaders, former leaders of countries around the world, the latest from Australia, the former premier, prime minister, Mr. Brown, has come up and said that that his country was too lax on allowing the Muslim race into the nation of Australia, and they've caused a lot of disruption, and it's gotten worse. The French, in the last 2 weeks, they finally said, I've had enough. And Muslims have been moving out of France in droves because their wives cannot wear their facial scarves. And if their identification cards, their passports, also have to be the full picture. So the Muslims have been moving out. Period. They're not allowed to walk the streets. They're not allowed to go grocery shopping. Now, what's really unique about all of this is 115 years ago, you didn't see these facial scars except in rural areas of Afghanistan, rural areas of Iran, and rural areas of Iraq, and they were non-existent. Basically, it was something that what's the third term I'm looking for? The supreme radicals placed on their wives. It's not in the Quran. It's not in their history. And in main cities in Iraq, main cities in Iran, you don't see the Muslim women walking around with these burqas on their heads. So what's the deal? Well, here's the big deal, ladies and gentlemen. We had a general in Southeast Asia that wanted to put an end to the Boer Wars that brought forth the 1911 45 caliber, because these Muslims in Southeast Asia would get doped up on heroin and cocaine. And we're talking about they would get the biggest of the men in the tribe, and you couldn't kill them. They would, until you just literally fill them up with enough lead that you could weigh them, and they'd be 30 or 40 pounds more in weight. These guys would come at you with their machetes, and a lot of them, when they first started using these Muslims drugged up on drugs, they killed a lot of American soldiers. And a colonel that represented G2 said, "I got a plan. We can take care of this. We can stop this right now." And they had captured three of the terrorist Boers and brought them to an encampment where the towns, the hamlet, were slaughtering pigs for a festival. And as they sliced and diced a fresh kill and skinned the animal, the colonel took the skin of the pig and told these three terrorists, Boers, that were hell-bent on killing Americans, "I'm going to wrap you up in this skin." And he laid one of the skins down in front of one of the men, while the hamlet tribal leader sliced and diced the other two pigs and skinned them out and brought the hides to the colonel, and the colonel laid them out in front of all three men. He says, "What we're going to do is we're going to wrap these pig skins around you, and we're going to hang you by your feet. And after about 12 hours, you will die. You could not stop these men from talking. They would have told you that they were the President of the United States and brought forth their birth certificate to prove it." But what happened today with Reverend Jason Day Manning should be heard around the world. It's been discussed on my show, on my radio show, where I've mentioned this many times, to take a pig, put him on a tripod at ground zero, for they want to build a mosque, slice and dice it, and leave the blood there, and I guarantee you, you wouldn't have to worry about a mosque being built in New York, anywhere.
Well, play the clip, Drew.
So here's a clip of somebody, of Reverend James David Manning, that substantiates it. Here you go.
During the event of the building of the mosque at Ground Zero, when it was in the news every day, I got several emails from several people around the nation telling me, and around the world telling me, why is it that someone won't take a bucket of pig's blood and go down there to the Burlington Coat Factory building and throw that pig's blood on the steps and the building of the that's proposed to be used as a mosque, and the Muslim will run from it. like roaches running when you turn on the light in a dirty kitchen. And so I made mention of it because Muslims are very superstitious people about pig's blood. They are scared to death of pig's blood. But I've got another idea. Probably I wouldn't do it, and I would not have the availability or the access to do it. But I'm thinking, as a matter of warfare, why is it that the U.S. military, why is it that they have not got loaded up several tankers, B-52 bombers, full of pig's blood, and flown over Afghanistan, Helmand Province, and all those other places where the Taliban is holed up tight there in those hills? Why don't they use those planes that they use to spray retardant on fires, wildfires, loaded with pig's blood, and just fly over those mountains where the Taliban are and spray them with pig's blood? You ought to see them running. Or you can even threaten that you're going to cover the whole nation of Afghanistan with pig's blood if they don't tell you where Osama bin Laden is. I guarantee you, I wouldn't do it. I don't have access to it. I don't have military command. I can't do it. But it seems to me, listen, they did the same thing in Vietnam with Agent Orange. Remember that? Yeah. So this will be Agent Red, pig's blood, as a warfare method in Afghanistan. I approve. Yes, I approve. Tell Admiral Mike Mullen and General Petraeus and Secretary Robert Gates that if you want to end the war and end it now in Afghanistan, pig's blood, Agent Red, pig's blood. But I got one more thing. Yeah, I do. There's more. And then I promise not to inflict myself upon you any further here today. And that is it. There's a Muslim in the White House. That's right. There is a Muslim in the White House. So why not? I wouldn't do it. Maybe someone else will. But I wouldn't. But somebody might get the idea of taking a bucket of pig's blood and spreading it around the White House. You got a Muslim in there. See what he'll do. Because he is a Muslim. Pig's blood. Agent Red pig's blood cause all Muslims to run for their lives. And it'll cause that long-legged Mac Daddy to run through here, run out of there, and leave Michelle a fist bump him when he hears that pig's blood has been spread around the White House. Now, I wouldn't do that myself. I wouldn't. But, however, I am James David Manning, and if pig's blood is a way to fight Muslims, and let's get on with it and get our nation back so we can lift up the banner of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.
Right on point.
Yeah, he is. But they don't want to mess up the poppy fields, so they have to be careful where they...
Well, pig blood's not going to hurt poppies. It would actually act as a fertilizer because unlike Agent Orange, it doesn't kill anything. It just lays out the cotton. Of course, you might have a few flies.
Well, I wanted to clarify something here. You know, that last clip I played of the short-legged Mac Daddy, it was a spoof. But the point is, it doesn't matter if you're listening to the real deal or a spoof. You know,
yeah.
there's not a whole lot of difference between the two.
I get fellow Marines around the world that are retired. Now, I got to admit something, ladies and gentlemen. I do talk to a lot of active duty Marines. I call some at Marine barracks and Marine bases around the world, duty stations, and I run into a lot of real arrogant Marines, staff sergeants, especially staff sergeants, that think they're God in their billet because they're the CO at that particular location. And it amazes me that they've been brainwashed over the course of their careers, and most of these staff sergeants have been in the Corps for 10, 12, 14 years. They're in a slow rank, meaning that a staff sergeant with 10 years in the Corps is the norm, a boot staff sergeant. His next rank to gunny will probably be anywhere from 4 to 6 years from now. When I was in the Marine Corps, a staff sergeant at 6 years before taking on the rank of a limited duty officer, it was a war zone, different times. Today, sergeant majors in the Marine Corps have over 25 years in. Back in the Vietnam era, you could find sergeant majors with just barely 18, 19 years in. Young men, 36, 30 to 40 years old. Today, most of the sergeant majors, unless they've been in combat through the last three wars, and I say three, saying that Gulf War One, Gulf War Two, and now in Afghanistan, there are some sergeant majors out there under 25 years now, in the combat situation.
Was the height or the faster rate of advancement due to the rate of attrition?
Yes. And death.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I bring all of this out to let you know that the military is putting in their military papers that they're reducing the military, and yet the ones that they're getting rid of are the ones that are constitutionalists. They're using all kinds of excuses like, well, they didn't pass the PFT test properly. They're too fat. Body mass index or mass body index or something like that. It doesn't meet their requirements. Well, when I joined the Marine Corps in 1967, ladies and gentlemen, I met a number of staff sergeants, gunnery sergeants, master sergeants that would make Jackie Gleason look thin. It wasn't the fat that was on them. It was the fact that these guys were big. And, yes, they were way overweight, but you didn't want to meet them in a dark alley because they could take on 10 or 20 of you and walk away, and the rest would be walking around trying to find out if your left arm broke in five places or three, and is your nose ever going to heal. But today, it's like the only people that the military wants to keep are the ones that are willing to have disrespect. The young troops that come out of boot camp are still taught the Constitution in the United States Marine Corps. And we have a military, the strongest military in the world, but it's not being used properly. It hasn't been used properly since World War II. It really hasn't. We have the United States Air Force is the greatest air force in the world, and it's not being used properly. Pilots of the Marine Corps, the Air Force, fighter pilots, jump pilots off of aircraft carriers, they're not used properly. And now we're inventing wireless drones that are pilotless and wireless controlled. It can be where the pilot sits in Kansas and takes this wireless controlled drone that is armed with all the latest armament that can possibly be placed on one of these suckers. And the guy that's flying it has never, never been in a plane before. He's sat behind a game controller. I learned this the other day. There's a group of AKA modern pilots who've never seen the inside of a cockpit. They have no fear in what they're doing, because if their drone gets blown up, well, they just lost $100 million aircraft.
But yeah, I was looking at some videos today, Drew, from a military site. Yeah, these were allegedly videos that were submitted by various videographers and military personnel around the world.
Uh-huh.
And at the beginning of each video, there's an advertisement for an Xbox game. You know, so they're learning to be virtual pilots on computer screens. You're absolutely right. And they're promoting this. Every single video, didn't matter what it was about, had this ad at the front end of it selling warfare on a computer screen.
And it all, and people say, well, when I make comments, when you make comments about movies and game machines or the reality of the future, go back to, I don't remember when the movie came out. I think it was about 1984. What's that? 30 years ago? 26 years ago? A movie came out that hit the theaters, and it crashed. It burned. But the name of the movie was called The Last Starfighter. And The Last Starfighter was about a kid in a mobile home park succeeding on a video game and becoming a world champion at it. A video game. And people laughed at the possibility of some 18-year-old kid learning how to fly a starfighter on a video game. And here we are 26 years later, and with the only difference of the 1984 movie, The Last Starfighter, and what's happening today is that in The Last Starfighter, the kid actually did get in the starfighter in fight. But today, the kids are sitting in nice cushioned seats in a controlled atmosphere with air conditioning in places like Kansas, California, Florida, our own aircraft carriers around the world. When death is taken away from the actual combat, war is going to get really nasty for the civilians. You're not true? Am I wrong there, Don?
No, you're right. Drew, I don't mean to change the subject here, but I want to play a song from Lucinda Drayton, and I want to tackle the issue of looking at potential solutions here. On some past shows.
What I'm saying about the potential solutions here, because these kids are killing civilians in Afghanistan and in Iraq and other wars, and they have no respect for life and death, and
mm-hmm.
there has to be some solutions. So this goes right up to your clip.
Yeah. I'm going to play a song from Lucinda Drayton here, and you know, I've been talking about how to connect with God and how to bring some divine power into this situation. It's a method that's at our disposal. And it doesn't matter what religion anyone is, but I want you to listen to the message in these lyrics.
Ask your heart, you know who I am. diamonds in your eyes. Tell your heart I know who I am. You will hear the child who runs with the waves. You will be the child who runs with the
That's music from the heart, Drew. I'm sure you would agree. And, you know, the message is, you know, tell your heart, I know who I am. On the bridge there. Tell your heart, I know who I am. This is the thing the message I've been trying to get out to people lately is that we've been so dumbed down and accepting of all this chaos and this insanity that we've lost focus on who we are and our purpose for being here on this planet. And I can assure you it's not to witness sustained murder of innocent people and the oppression on all of humanity, the poisoning and the starving and I feel like we're just a broken record.
A lot of times we talk to the choir out there because a lot of people that listen to your show and listen to my show are godly men and women, and they're always seeking truth.
Yeah, adjust your mic, Drew. You're a little bit weak there.
I said that most of the people that listen to our show, your show and my show, are godly men and women. That's why they come and listen to our show, to get the truth and find out, you know, information that they can pass on to their friends and their relatives. And I keep telling people, you know, you're not the only one out there who's got brothers, cousins, sisters, mothers, fathers that don't believe you. I'm the same way. I have 7 sisters and 1 brother. And it's tooth and nail. Up until a couple of weeks ago, I thought I had at least 2, maybe 3 of the sisters that really believed as I do. And now I have reservations. Were they just giving me platitudes because I'm a radio show host? Do they really, are they paying attention? They have their own singular idea. One thing, you know, believes that as we do, that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was not killed by a lone gunman, nor was he killed by the murderer Oswald himself.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what about all the rest of the things? 9/11 is an inside job. We've got people that come out that constantly bring forth evidence, even intelligence officers of other countries the former second in command of MI5 from the United Kingdom has come out and said, maybe in the beginning, the plan to take down the Twin Towers was a Muslim idea. But the Mossad infiltrated and helped bring down the Twin Towers themselves, not the Muslims. The Muslims did not have the power, the control, and the knowledge. And he brings up salient questions like, why were total floors that were unoccupied sealed off for months at a time? And why wasn't somebody looking into the idea when secretaries came to work on a Monday morning, there was a lot of chalk dust all over the place. One former secretary wrote in her diary that I wouldn't call it, for the lack of a better term, I used diary. She referred to it as her ledger, her work ledger. And her husband found the work ledger months after the Twin Towers were brought down, and he had lost his wife in that horrible event. And she had mentioned in her ledger for over 8 weeks on Monday morning, she would come to work and dust would be everywhere. After the second time it happened, she began taking a personal sheet to her office and covering up her computer and desk and with the sheet. And when she came in on the following Monday, all she had to do was pull the sheet off of her desk in her workstation area. But many of her friends did not do it. And they would sit there and cope with dust and use small blowers to blow the soot, the ash, off of their workstations. We're not talking about after the World Trade Center has been destroyed and they work several blocks away. We're talking about a woman that worked inside the World Trade Center and died.
Yeah. Are you saying they were doing the work in that office, or was that dust blowing through the ventilation system?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Oh. I have no evidence or proof. Was it dust coming through the ventilation system? Was somebody coming into their offices and drilling holes? Where was all the dust coming from?
Yeah, I was just asking, you know.
I mean, I'm just letting you know. I mean, where was it? There's somebody drilling something somewhere, and the dust is coming out there around. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to know that somebody's doing something in the building, and when they reported it, nobody did anything. Nobody investigated it.
Well, Neil Bush should have been the person they should have been talking to, because he had the security contract up to September 10th, 2001.
And a former United States Marine gave his life for his entire division of people that he was instructed. He was the security guard for one company there. That was two floors. And within 30 days of him taking the job, just less than a year before, he took it upon himself to orchestrate and plan an evacuation in case of a catastrophic event. And he planned it and then went to the CEO of that company, and I don't know the name of the company, nor do I remember the former colonel's name, but he was a former colonel, United States Marine Corps, in a G2 element, that is intelligence, ladies and gentlemen. And for security and safety reasons, he planned the evacuation, and they did drills where the entire office evacuated both floors and took off to the stairwells and walked down 42 floors and 43 floors, and then met at a location outside the Twin Towers. in case of a catastrophic event. He saved the lives of all of those people that, for that company that he was working for. And he, after he got everybody out, he went back because there were three people missing, and those three people were homesick, and he didn't know it. But he went back in to make sure he could get them out and get others out that were in the building. And he died when the Tower 2 fell. But he is praised by that finance company to this day of saving the lives of 240 souls.
No, we don't hear
very few people talk about him.
Yeah, we don't hear these stories in the mainstream at all, do we?
No, you hear about it from former Marines that know about him. And I apologize. I used to know his name on the tip of my tongue, but it's been 9 years. And I wasn't a talk show host 9 years ago. I didn't bring the clips. I didn't save those clips of his wife. I didn't save the clips that I heard on television periodically, late night, 2 o'clock in the morning, of praise that was given to him. Nobody ever talks about the fact that, you know, the Twin Towers was an inside job, except on Alternative Radio Network. And you guys are going to have a chance to go out and vote in 34 days in America. And I'm telling you, vote them all out. And this idea that Harry Reid stood up yesterday and said all 100 senators wanted to adjourn and go home so they could address their constituents because they're being reelected, what lie? Only 33 senators have an election. Only 34. This is the year that 34 are elected. 34 senators are up for election. Of that, a number of them are choosing not to run for a reelection. So there's less than 34. Where's the other? The other 65, they didn't have to leave Washington, D.C. They're not up for election. 33 of them are up for election in 2 years.
Of those 34, how many were Democrats?
Over half, 22. And we need to vote them all out. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, from my own words, I've been screaming this for 5 years. There's no difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Heads, they're one coin. One side, they're Democrat head. The other side, they're Republican tail. And it's been that way. And until we put honest men with God-fearing beliefs back into the Washington, D.C. arena, we're shafted. You kiss your posterior goodbye. Hello, slavery. None are more enslaved than those who believe they're free. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how I feel. And I honestly believe that if these Republicrats, they come into office, if the world is going to be a big awakening here, and there's going to be some constitutionalists elected. Not many, not nearly enough, but there's going to be some, and they're going to try to make a difference. But my personal viewpoint, my personal conviction, Don, is the collapse cannot be diverted. You look at the riots that are going on in France, in Spain, in Iceland, in Ireland, in Scotland, in the Netherlands, Germany, Sweden, right now, all because of this austerity programs where the governments are admitting that they are too big, admitting that they wasted money. But then they turn around and they need $651 billion to bail out the banks in Ireland or the bank, the two large banks in Ireland are going to collapse. My personal viewpoint and the personal viewpoint of all of the men and women in the streets that work and slave for a living, let them fail. Close them down.
Yeah, you know, Drew, it's quite ironic. They're holding the people's money. How can they fail when the people's money are in the banks, yet they do? Well, it's because they've stolen it. They've devised ways to steal the money. And you get you try telling somebody this, and they get all red-faced, and they get mad, and they don't want to hear it. And they start attacking you or me or, you know, the messenger. My own family, I'm sure, like you said, you know, your family members think you're crazy. And so eventually say, you know, I'm not even going to mention anything. You know, I'm not going to try to wake anybody up. And what happens is they start coming to you, telling you what's wrong. They start noticing these things, you see. And it does afford us the opportunity, at least in my case, to open up a dialogue on some issues. Because once they tell you everything that they know about, there's nothing more to talk about, you know. And so they want to hear what else is going on. And basically, you can tell them the same things, just the different versions that are out there. Because there's hundreds of cases of bank corruption, thousands, really, thousands of cases of bank corruption. Look at the 6,000 front companies run by the CIA internationally. You think that there's no corruption there? They're not an agency that's supposed to go into its own private business to run its own projects and turn those on the people. There's no intelligence in that. You know, it's all done to facilitate internationally organized crime is what I intended to say. That's all it is. And, you know, people look at these federal agencies as if they were put there to end a threat to this country or to provide some sort of security. Well, the threats are always there. As long as these people are in office, the threat is there because they're the ones engineering all of this. And there is no security. They have no intention. The word security implies that it's a remedy for fear and that somehow this is going to cause fear to go away. Yet everything they do, everything they say and their propaganda is based on producing fear. This is why I tell people to look within themselves, look to be there to be responsible for themselves. And when they can be that, then they can become responsible for others, at least helping others, at least showing the way to others. Because there are a lot of people who are waking up who are way behind the eight ball. We've said this many other times. I'm sure you'd agree with me.
And the CEOs and CFOs around the world that are calling for it more investment into alternative energy sources and more investment into the private sectors for private jobs. Because the government, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't create anything. That's just employees of government. Who pays the government? The civilian workforces of all the nations of the world. French girl, 30 years old, 31 years old now, one of the Wind Talker stations located in the eastern France, came out and became a whistleblower about the government paying her basically a hefty salary, and all she was working was 12 hours a month. And she got fed up. of being in her job function, basically being a woman to go get a cup of coffee for somebody when she was sitting there with a doctorate degree. And she was making doctorate degree money, but it was a waste. And officials were in her division were booking flights on the French taxpayers' money to fly to Southeast Asia for no reason at all. Because they were the leaders of that division, they could do anything they wanted. And we're not talking about one or two officials around her. We're talking about 12 or 13. And they would fly to Southeast Asia from Paris nonstop or to Japan on hefty first-class ticket cost and meet with the leaders over there over something that had nothing to do with their job function in France and stay there for 2 weeks. She held the job for over 2 years. And she was fed up. She was 28 when she was hired. And it got to be worse and worse and worse, and she saw no end in sight. So she comes out and writes a book about it and puts it out, and now the French government are investigating the waste in government. Her boss is, fired her. And she said it was in a comment that she did on an interview on a Wind Talker station in eastern France, said it was like, I went in and took a shower, and I came out, and I felt clean for the first time in 2.5 years. That's what's going on in the United States. Right now, bankers are being bailed out for no reason, and they get bonuses at insurance companies for failing. And here we are, and Don, I don't know if you know this or not, or if you've read it, Barack Hussein Obama is selling General Motors because he owns and he has the authority thereof 55%, and the government of the United States is selling General Motors to a Chinese corporation.
And how did he acquire 55%? How was that pulled off?
Loaning GM, bailing GM out with taxpayer money. So it's your money, ladies and gentlemen. It's your taxpayer money, and he's selling General Motors to the Chinese, and the money that he's getting back is not going back to pay the money that was borrowed from the Federal Reserve to bail out General Motors. It's going back into the general fund of the federal government. So you're still
kissing goodbye. It's gone then.
It's still you're still shafted, ladies and gentlemen, because you're still paying the debt. And 600, how much money has the United States government put out in the last 2 years under Obama and the last 6 months under George W. Bush? Have you found that out? Have you looked it up?
Oh, it's got to be in the trillions.
Oh, it is, but I thought you might know, you know, somewhere close.
No, I haven't read Walter Burian's CAFR report in some time, but it's probably in there, I would say.
I don't know if Walter has pulled the figures together, but $7.5 trillion.
Well, the Ponzi schemes are just off the charts. So, you know, where they draw the lines when they're keeping two or three sets of books or no books at all, other than the secret agreements that they have going on. You know, there were numerous stories that the Chinese put out trillions of dollars, and those funds were absconded by several other New York banks, became a political or an economic ping-pong ball over, you know, since around 2006. This has been going on over and over again. And Chinese aren't going to put up with the lies forever. They've been lied to constantly about that. And there are the Nasara funds, the Freedom and Prosperity funds that people invested in 20, 30 years ago. And those funds are due before any other monies are even talked about. Those funds are on the table and are supposed to be in the hands of the original investors. That's another aspect of the criminality that's going on. You don't hear any talk about that. They try to pretend like it's no big deal. But Clinton was forced to sign the legislation for Nasara. So why do they pretend like it doesn't exist? Well, it's about hijacking the funds and creating all kinds of Ponzi schemes to hypothecate ownership of them when it's not their money at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're telling me about Obama owning a percentage of that, I'd like to see where that's documented. I mean, I'm not doubting what you're saying. I'd like to see the documentation, how he acquired that. Did Tony Resco help him with that, too?
I don't know. And that's a good question. Where is the documentation to prove that the government has actually owns the stock? But that's what they're saying.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, they played their little cash for clunkers game, and closed down dealerships. You know, they closed down lots of car dealerships. People own dealerships for 90 or 100 years. And have them.
They attempted to close one here in Little Rock, and that was the number one dealership. And the owners, a family, they turned their dealership into a full service repair dealership for aftermarket, out of warranty automobiles. And all of a sudden, they had more work than they knew what to do with. Because the people that live in and around in the metroplex of Little Rock, and as far out as 50 miles, brought their cars in for just even for oil changes to support this dealership that was the license had been pulled on, and they had to and what's really unique here is the government had the gall to bring an agent in and say, we would like for you to turn over a copy of all your records for the last 20 years of who you sold vehicles to. And the woman that owns the dealership, she looked at the man, the government agent, and says, you get out of here or I'm going to call the sheriff and have you arrested for theft. That's our family. This is our family business. These are private records. You didn't bail us out. We didn't need any money. We didn't need to be bailed out. We're selling vehicles left and right. They were the number one dealership in the state of Arkansas, and yet they supported McCain. So they got booted. And they learned real fast that all of a sudden politics has gotten really nasty in America. If you're not supporting the winning hand, your business is liable to be closed down. But this is one dealership that said, no, sir, you can't have our records. There's no way on God's in God's world that you're going to get our records. And the word got out. She called a news conference immediately. And she reiterated the fact that her dealership and the people in her dealership had put up $100,000 for McCain, and McCain won the state of Arkansas. And the only reason they were closing her dealership was because she and her dealership and members of her dealership had put up a substantial amount of money for the election cause of who they wanted to see as president. And Obama did not carry Arkansas. He lost Arkansas. And he didn't lose Arkansas with the white vote. He lost Arkansas with the black vote.
Here's a $64,000 question that I have to ask you, Drew. Would that dealership in Little Rock have given $100,000 to McCain's campaign if they knew that he also was and the illegal.
No, it wasn't specifically the McCain campaign. It was to the Republican
Party. Or the Republican Party.
It was to the Republican Party. It wasn't specifically to McCain. And I used McCain because the Republican Party was basically promoting McCain.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole thing is a scam. Like you said, it's a two-headed coin. It's two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. And more people are starting to learn the truth that that's exactly what it is. And it's like the operating systems on computers. You're forced, ladies and gentlemen, if you buy a new computer, you're forced to take Windows 7 or Windows Vista. Well, I don't even think they're even promoting Windows Vista. Windows Vista is an aftermarket product right now. But you're forced to take Windows 7, which is built on the Windows Vista platform, instead of having the opportunity to have a top-of-the-line computer with Windows XP, which is a proven stabilized system, or having an operating system like Linux put on it, or an operating system that has come about over in Japan that's a third operating system. It's like, okay, you buy this, but this is what you get. You get it with the Intel processor. You get it with the AMD processor, and it's going to be Windows 7. And if you want anything different, you've got to go to a completely new brand, i.e., a brand that many people have a difficulty learning, and it's Apple. But more and more people are choosing Apple computers because Apple computers and the corporation of Apple have fought diligently, to make sure their operating systems are as secure as humanly possible. Very few viruses ever come about in the Apple version computers. But at the same token, there's a lot of software companies out there across America who won't write their software to operate on the Apple platform. So, you know, the New World Order is here. Diversity in what you need to run your life is being thrown to the wolves. And the collapse of the world economy is upon us because governments around the world, not just in the United States, not just France, not just England or Ireland or Sweden or Australia, governments around the world are playing the New World Order, the Big Brother, saying, okay, well, we've got 300 million people. We just put a personal tax on everybody, $1 a month. To be a citizen of the United States. All of a sudden, we've got $300 million coming in.
You know, you wonder,
Drew. $3 million a year.
You wonder how many people have traveled around the country and seen all the open space there is. It'll blow your mind. And when you realize where people are stuffed inside a can like sardines, you know, this lie that we're told that the world is running out of space is just another big lie.
A Japanese economist, not an American, but a Japanese economist, sat down with his Apple computer.
Smart man.
And there is a picture of him on YouTube and of him and his staff and all the Apple computers that they used in the course of a week took the entire population of the world, configured it up and brought forth the average number of single men, average number of single women all over the age of 18. And the number of married families around the world, averaging them out to an average of 4 children per family, man and wife plus 4, and gave them all 1 hectare, 1/2 of a hectare, 1/2 of a hectare of land. A hectare is 2.2 acres, ladies and gentlemen. In their work documentary, they gave a family of 4 children and 2 adults a 1 hectare, and all the single men and single women 18 years of age and older 1/2 of a hectare. And in doing so, they put the entire population of the planet of Earth, over 7 billion people, on one continent and still had land left over. And the continent they used was Australia.
So you're saying they had enough space to put a shrimp on the barbie?
Yes, most assuredly. And the entire Northwest Territory that Brisbane sits in would be empty, unpopulated at all. Now, you think about that, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to bed at night and you hear these New World Order elitist fascists tell you that the world is overpopulated and that people are starving to death. The reason people are starving to death in Africa is because of Monsanto and Bayer and 6 other genetically modified seed companies who gave the Africans seeds, gave genetically modified seeds away, gave Terminator seeds away. That's why people in Africa are starving to death. That's why in Haiti, the farmers burned the warehouse. Burned the warehouse with 20 tons of genetically modified corn in it. Belonged to Monsanto. Because they didn't want the genetically modified Terminator corn on the island of Haiti, even though people were starving because of the earthquake. Man-made earthquake, I might add. So you stop and think about what's really going on. It's all about control, and there's a movie out there that told you about it over 35 years ago.
Yeah. Drew, we got a caller here. Hate to interrupt you. We got a caller here, and it's almost time to wrap up the show. So my screen says Silver Nobe is on the line. Are you
with us? Yeah, Silver Nobe, he calls into my show.
Okay. Silver, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for Drew Raines?
Yeah, Drew and Don. Drew, thank you so much, and I apologize being so late. I thought it was 1 a.m. my time, and now it's 1:25, so I definitely apologize. I kind of understand where Drew stands. My question was more for Don. Where do we as a society stand, in your opinion? And I apologize if I'm reiterating a question you've already answered. I didn't catch the whole show, and I apologize.
Well, in what regard? Can you be a bit more specific?
You know, everybody's basically running for cover, and I was kind of, you know, I guess more specifically it would be, you know, I know the world's not going to end. Where do you stand as far as, you know, America as we know it? Are we a couple years out? Are we a couple weeks out?
Well, what I see and what I know is possible are two different things. Now, I could answer your question by first pointing out that you mentioned people are running for cover. Okay, people who are running are in fear. So you have to ask yourself, why are they in fear? What's causing them to feel fear? Well, are they paying attention to the media? Because they won't even realize what's being done to them if they're watching mainstream media. We've been telling people to turn the TV set off. You know, I admit that I check out what they're broadcasting. I think I have a responsibility to do that, to comment on the propaganda and the lies that we hear, to comment on the issues that aren't being discussed, which are important. And I do that to dispel the fear. Now, people tend to wake up and they tend to get into looking for answers and they do their own research and they're waking up. So we have to be tolerant of the fact that they are behind. They've come to the party a bit late and they're learning how to dance. Okay. They didn't come prepared knowing how to dance. And so, there's still a lot of fear there. There's a lot of uncertainty or confusion because they haven't really caught on. And I've been putting out this message about connecting with God, connecting with the Creator, being a part of the process, which is the creation. It's still going on. It's not something that happened. It's something that's always been happening and is happening now. And so we have to sort of get off of this merry-go-round and connect with God. You've got to do soul searching. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual in nature. But their methods have caused people to focus on the physical, on the material aspect, or on the mental aspect. And their minds and their bodies are operating through fear. So they're going to run. They're going to look for someone else to protect them when really their own protection and their own strength and their own power is already within them. Because if they are a human being and they recognize spirit, they are spirit. And they have to be able to make that connection. This could change overnight if people would wake up to that fact. But that's not going to happen, okay?
Well, where I stand is my gut and my wife has the same sentiments that I do, and God bless you, Drew, for everything that you do. Don, I apologize, I haven't listened to more of your shows. My gut says, hey, just chill out, we're okay still. And still means it could be 5 years, 10 years, I don't know. But my gut says it's okay. And I you know, the internet is great of a tool that it is, so many people are becoming consumed, and they're instilling fear in them. And I guess the reason I'm asking you is to kind of subject myself to the same reasoning that I have, that, hey, it's okay. There's no harm. Keep preparing. Keep you know, giving yourself the knowledge. So just be ready. And if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I think that's kind of where you're coming from.
Of course, I don't say, well, just sit around and pray and eat blueberries for breakfast and everything's going to be all right. You know, you've got to do something, you know, and if you're in denial, and that's the hardest thing for a person to admit is when they're in denial because they feel like they're being attacked. That's not what we're talking about here. You're not willing to look at something for what it really is. You're allowing someone else to make those choices for you by what they say, by what they command you to do. We weren't created as those types of beings. That's not the purpose for which we were created, and that's not our role, our intended role. And those that do that self-searching come to that knowing. And they become a part of this movement. But really, what are we doing? Are we doing something unordinary or something unlawful? We're abiding by universal laws when we talk to God, when we ask God to intercede on our behalf. But God says, I'm in you. Take advantage of that. Put that to work. Put it into action. Do things. Drew talks about that all the time, about being prepared. Being prepared with knowledge. We're not asking anyone to believe anything. We're encouraging people to find these things for themselves. They will come to see the truth because that's what it's about ultimately. is the truth. The truth is everything that is.
It's acceptable to feel left out, because I feel that the more people I talk to, even those quote unquote awake, they're really not awake, in my opinion.
Yeah, you may be right.
Show. Pardon me?
You may very well be right. I mean, you are in that sense.
Okay.
No, I don't disagree with that.
Thank you so much for your time, sir.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you so much for your time, and I apologize for calling in so late. And, Drew, God bless you both as well.
Now, don't apologize for calling. We didn't have to take the call. No,
I thank you so much, Don. I really do. I didn't know it was after the show. I mean, I could sit here and pick your brain for hours. I thought Drew said two, and I thought it was one my time. And then when I called him, they said, "Oh no, we're almost to the end of the show." And I'm like, "Oh goodness, I've been waiting up for this." So I just thought it was so.
Well, you know, before you go, Silver, you know, what I'm talking about, too, is going to give people the kind of strength and character that those in the military have. Those in the military are trained to be that way, okay? And I'd have to think that even a man or woman in the military who didn't know God or never had a relationship with God before they went into the military and experienced some amount of battle, I think they would come to God on their own, just contemplating the fact that maybe one of their friends, one of their best friends, or maybe even a family member was killed. And they had left something undone that they wanted to say to that person. Or they contemplated the fact that that person left and they were spared. And they begin to question, why? Why was I spared? Why am I here? What is this really about? Because my friends can be taken away from me in a blink of an eye. And so people, I think, and Drew, you would be one to talk about that with some experience. You probably know people who are atheists or pretty, you know, ambivalent to whether or not God was real, and they turned to God after having been through some experiences in the military. What do you say about that?
Yeah. Been there, done that. Just move forward. Yeah. Don't be afraid to be the lone guy out there. That's something that you have to understand. And it's what the Marine Corps teaches all of us. You don't want to fight. And this is what the Germans learned at the Battle of Belleau Wood. You can kill the officers. You can kill the non-coms. But the Marines are taught to be the leader all the way down to private. So in Vietnam, there were several patrols where they would go out with a second lieutenant. And when they came back, there would be a corporal in the command of the platoon, because the second lieutenant had been killed and medevaced out. The non-com had been killed or medevaced out. And then maybe the sergeant. And all units had two sergeants. And many times, the sergeants were the first ones to be medevaced out or killed. And I remember many times listening to force recon units screaming, you know, the Alamo. And the Alamo is the code word that they're making their last stand. Is there anybody that can hear us? We didn't know where they were. Pitch black out in the middle of the Mekong Delta. Nobody else had radios. And we felt sorry for these units. So we're talking.
Well, Doug, if you don't mind me asking, Drew, I didn't mean to cut you off. Drew knows I love him deathly. I listen to his show as much as I can. I've been following Drew for quite some time now. Don, this is the first time I've spoke with you. And with all due respect, sir, if you don't mind me asking one more question, and then I will totally get off here, and I apologize for, you know, trying to take over the show.
No, don't apologize. You haven't taken it over yet.
The physical form seems to be easy for me. Drew came on the show. The analysis of the way we are and the way it's set up is easy for me. The unphysical form, and bless my wife's heart, has not been so easy. I'm bombarded all the time. I learn all the time. But what would be your suggestion to people that, other than the physical realm, what would be your suggestion to kind of not even overcome it, but to deal with it? And if you have an answer to overcome it, that would be welcome as well.
Well, it's not the physical form that you're overcoming so much as your identification with it. There's a difference, okay? If it's something that's holding you back, then you've got to change it, okay? Like a car that keeps breaking down. It's a vehicle, okay? Finally, you get fed up with having it fixed, and it's costing you more to fix it than it would be to go out and buy a new car or buy one on payments or whatever. So your physical body is a vehicle to permit you to enact the spiritual intention of the real you. And your mind is a tool to be used in conjunction with that, okay? You're not your body and you're not your mind. You are something much, much more powerful than that. Those are just tools that you have. You can change your mind. You've heard people say that plenty of times, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and it's your mind. It means it's a possession. It belongs to you. If it belongs to you, it is not you. It is something that is in your possession. Okay. So having a right idea about what your body is, a vehicle, and your mind, a tool, to be used in conjunction or as an interface between your spirit or the spiritual you as a soul who has come into an embodied three-dimensional experience in order to realize who you are. It's found in the very center of the physical realm. It's a place both seen and unseen, but always felt. Okay? And you can feel your heart on a spiritual level. When you have feelings of love or feelings of joy, even feelings of sadness, it's how your heart interprets that information. The passing of a loved one, or winning a game, or achieving some big success that you strived for your whole life. Those are things that really build up emotions inside you. And if you can tap into those emotions in the heart just by merely paying attention to your heart and by not thinking in the head, we've been taught to through imagery and through sounds to accept stories and pictures and songs that have a subliminal effect on our consciousness and block off our connection or severs our connection with our heart, which is our connection to the universe. And you have God in you, and God resides in your heart. And if he's in your heart and you're not communicating or recognizing that he's there, you yourself have determined or allowed someone else to determine on your behalf that they're going to separate you from that natural connection. So you pray or you meditate and you focus on the heart and let the heart speak to you. And if you have a question or a request for the Creator, you ask it knowing that the Creator is there and will honor that. There's no reason why he shouldn't, but he won't if you don't ask.
So truly, it really is just a journey or an experiment. We're so caught up in monetary or materialistic things. it really is just a journey, an experiment, entertainment.
It's a game. It's a game. Yeah, it's a game. And it's the rules and the playing field are dictated by those that came up with the idea. But it has nothing to do with who we are other than who we are not.
Right.
You know, that's the
answer. I'm not saying go stand in front of a train and say, well, God's going to protect me and you get run over. I'm saying that really we've been so conditioned that really if we drop our ego and just go and live and be joyful of living, whatever that may mean for each and every other different person, it's just a game. It's just an experiment. It's just a journey, and you should enjoy that such thing.
You know, Jesus Christ said that we should go to God when we have a request with the mind of a child, okay? The faith of a child. The child doesn't question whether or not something is possible. The child somehow intuitively knows that all he or she has to do is ask the question or make the request, and it's granted. That's what that means, that we should assume that it's normal. It's not some miracle. We've been taught that things that are very mundane in the spiritual realm are miraculous. We're being lied to by people in organized religion about those matters as well. Just look at the universe. The universe and the creation is the miracle. And if you want a miracle in your life, strive to connect with it. And, or I should say, reconnect or remember. Because this system here has just caused us to forget that. We would instantly have peace. It would be obvious to anyone that war is absolutely insane and unnecessary. See, if we abided by God's commandments, and it doesn't matter what religion. I read the Buddhist commandments yesterday on the show, and they're virtually a carbon copy of the Christian Ten Commandments. How is that? You know, and you have Christians saying, well, Buddhists are evil. And Buddhists saying that Christians are evil, and Christians saying that Muslims are evil, and Muslims saying that Buddhists are evil, and Christians are evil. You got all these arguments going on that have nothing to do with the truth. See? You find the truth by connecting with your heart. God will bring the truth to you by buckets full. I hope that sort of answers the question.
No, you answered more than you think you've answered. Because I go out here, as Drew's doing, you know, we keep going out there and teaching people the material life, but I think most people don't get a grasp on the spiritual life, and I think that's why we at times feel alone.
This is spiritual warfare. You heard Drew say that if you've listened to him for any amount of time. Good against evil. But, you know, it's as simple as making a choice. You make your choice. I make my choice. Drew makes his choice. All the listeners make their choice. If we end up on the same side, think about the power that's there. Because those are people that are operating on their own battery instead of waiting for somebody to hook a wire up to them.
You're right. Don, I thank you so much for taking my call. You've settled so much with me. And Drew, thank you so much for being a part of this, because this is the reason I came over here. And I hope, you know, I'm blessed enough to hear more from you, Don, down the road.
Well, hopefully we're on again tomorrow night with Jim Murray, and we do talk about these things. So
I beg your pardon, you're on again tonight.
Well, for some people, it's tomorrow. All right.
In about another 10 minutes, it won't be. It'll
yeah.
Be oh, I take that back. No, we still have Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just got reminded Hawaii. It'll be tomorrow for us in Hawaii.
Now, what about Guam? Have they capsized yet?
They haven't capsized yet, but they're also a day ahead of us.
Yeah. You remember the Hank, is it Hank Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah, then we're gonna, clank caps on it because too many people. Oh, God.
Those are the people, that are making decisions about our lives. This is the whole thing, you know, the point. When you come back to those issues, they really seem stupid, don't they? That we even talk about those things, that they exist, you know. Well, Drew, we're out of time. I want to give you the opportunity to make a closing comment before we say goodnight to our listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, are we your enemy because we bring you the truth? The light is out there. Learn what it is. Learn to go to it. And understand there's only one true God, one true creator, and one Yeshua the Christ. He may be born on many planets, but he's born to bring a message, and that is to do unto others as you wish to do unto yourself. Live free, live with liberty, trust in the Creator, and understand that there are evil people out here that want to enslave you. My name is Drew Malone Ranks III, the name of my show, A Marine's Disposition. We're heard live 6 days a week, Sunday through Friday, on Wind Talkers Radio Network and off the Internet with Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome, Drew, and thanks for being on the show. For you folks out there that would like to incorporate some concepts into living from the heart, making decisions from the heart, and connecting or reconnecting with God in a more powerful way, there are six virtues that are all interwoven together, but you can practice them in your daily life through your action and your contact with the people who are part of your life. Appreciation, forgiveness, humility, understanding, compassion, and valor. Notice fear is not in any of those words. In fact, valor is the opposite of fear. And having any of those qualities operating in your life and connecting, learning to incorporate all six, and you can ask God to do this for you, or you can make the decision to do that and to talk to God and wait for God's response. Sometimes God's response doesn't come in the timing you expect it to, but it can also manifest itself in a new opportunity for you. These are the things that we must do to operate from the heart. And the answers we're looking for will be there. We won't have to go look under a rock for them. They'll just appear to us. And they're pretty simple. It's the complications of an oppressive system that have blinded most of us and deafened us from seeing and hearing what's really going on. And like we were saying just a little while ago, it's just a game, especially to those that like to play it. If you're tired of the game, time to get off the merry-go-round and start creating for yourself. Take responsibility. We've talked about that. Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show, and look forward to my next visit with Wind Talkers and Blog Talk Radio on A Marine's Disquisition. You have a great night and a great weekend coming up, too.
I'm going to learn how to garden this weekend with Lynn Pence. And to all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's special guest, Drew Malone Rains III. Want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show either live or in an archive. and thank our caller, Silver, for his questions and his comments. We appreciate him. Over at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom on the sound. Also, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when we will be moving over to Station 2, still bbsradio.com. We'll begin broadcasting the show on Station 2 tomorrow night. And my special guest will be scientist inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.